Look, it's going to take two and a half hours to get down to Nashville, but you have Nashville Strip Fun right on Franklin Street. Head on down to Bud's Rockin' Country Bar. Bud's has live entertainment every single weekend. Thursday night is college night with $10 Busch Light buckets. Come for the nightlife and fun. Stay to eat some of the best food in the tri-state. Bud's Rockin' Country Bar is bringing Nashville to the west side of Evansville.
You're listening to the Eagle's Nest Podcast, your weekly check of Screaming Eagle Athletics from WREF, The Ref, and the University of Southern Indiana. The Eagle's Nest is brought to you by Bud's Rockin' Country Bar. Now, here's your host, Brad Clyde.
You're listening to the Eagle's Nest Podcast, presented by Bud's Rockin' Country Bar, the area's only country-themed restaurant and bar right on Franklin Street. You'll think you're on the Nashville Strip at Bud's Rockin' Country Bar. Every single week, we talk about Southern Indiana athletics, the biggest story in USI sports. But then again, the biggest story in USI sports right about now in the summer is the official transition from D2 to D1 being completely done. You guys are now a full member D1 institution. I'm here this week talking with Steve Bridges, the president of the university, making his way across campus for this interview. Hey, I really appreciate the time.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. Thank you for caring about what we're doing at USI and sharing the word.
Braving the elements, too. I mean, you're wearing a full suit in the summer. It's hot out. I mean, that I respect for that. I mean, that's not easy.
Well, I appreciate it. My job calls for it more than maybe you used to, but I do have casual days too, bro.
So we're talking about what this means for the university, and it was to a certain extent an inevitability. Everyone knew that the transition was happening. Most people thought for a while it was going to take 4 years, ends up only taking three, in part because the NCAA gave you guys an opportunity, a new path to accomplish your goals from 4 years down to three. But then again, that was a challenge in its own right, getting 4 years' worth of work done in only 3 years. So what did it take behind the scenes to check this massive box off the list and getting USI full member D1?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a journey. You were so right about the time on that. And, you know, we put together a team when we found out that it was possible to take a year off of our transition. And we were all excited about that opportunity. But there was a group across campus that worked together to develop some of the final reports that were required. It was a heavy lift. And so you couldn't be any more accurate when you talk about what happened behind the scenes. We had a lot of heroes behind the scenes that made this happen. And that's what we do at USI. So it was great. And I'm pleased with how that went.
Now, in covering USI athletics, I can tell you firsthand that I'm definitely what attracted me most to the job here in Evansville, Indiana, is the opportunity to cover Division I athletics. That was the thing. I grew up watching the NCAA tournament in the same way the players are here, largely because you guys went D1. It attracts talent on the field, on the court. It attracted me. And so I would imagine that is somewhat tangible evidence, right, of what the move does for the university. But the other thing is, I could tell you firsthand experience, when I was at the Duke game 2 years ago and USI was leading at halftime, I heard a rumor, it's probably true, that in the 15-ish, 20-ish minute halftime, it was the most Googled window for the University of Southern Indiana ever in the history of the program, of the school. And I guess that's what it's really all about, is exposure. I was talking to you a couple weeks ago with the press conference. You were talking to me about exposure for all things USI, athletics and academics. Have you seen that kind of tangible evidence on your side of campus in the way that I have?
Absolutely. So raising visibility and reputation, that's one of our strategic goals, and this fits in very nicely. It's a part athletics plays in doing that for us. And an example would be it's happening all over the country.
You know?
I get a message from an attorney I worked with in Indianapolis that says, hey, you're in the top 10 plays of the week in baseball with this catch that happened out in center field. So those things are happening, and they weren't happening before. We were still making those great plays, but we weren't getting the attention that we get now.
Well, that's the other thing, Ryan, is that when the transition happened, I think a lot of people may have thought, from a competitive standpoint, well, we're a D2 school, we're a D2 program, how are we going to compete in Division One? And of course, it wasn't overnight. Athletics has been evolving, it still is, to try to get the most competitive they can be. Has there been anything that surprised you in the competitiveness of the athletic department during the transition? For example, I don't know if anyone really projected an OVC championship for either cross country or women's basketball, and we saw both.
You know, I think from the outside looking in, that would surprise people. For me personally,
yeah,
seeing the quality of our program, we knew we were ready. We knew we were Division I caliber. So the programs you named do not surprise me. We've had success in men's golf. We've had success in tennis. You know, our goal is to be competitive across all sports. And so seeing the success is wonderful, but I wouldn't say that it totally surprised me, to be honest.
I've got a quick question here, and that's about the timeline of it. Not necessarily the timeline, but when you guys chose to do it. Now, I know that Dr. Rashawn was here when that actually happened, when that decision was made, but you were certainly here. You're an alum of the university. You've seen USI Athletics perform at an extremely high level in Division II for a very long time. So one can make the argument that you guys have been a D1 program, D1 caliber program, for a while before the decision was made. Why was it that you guys decided when you did to go and make the move instead of, say, years earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. So timing's everything.
Sure.
And the conference is everything. Mm-hmm. We felt like we really fit with the OVC conference. And quite frankly, the Great Lakes Valley Conference that we were participating in Division II, we were traveling further to some of the locations than we are in the OVC. It's a league that fits us from a geographic perspective, from a competition perspective. And to go back in time, to be honest with you, John Mark Hall and President Rashawn were the first two people to have a conversation on this, and I fell in line, I think, third.
Mm.
And so I've been involved since its beginning. I developed the plan to financially be able to do this. And so all of those elements had me involved very early in it. And I can tell you that we just decided, you know we are of caliber to do so. We think we could help ourselves with visibility and reputation. And we have a great offer from a conference we fit. And those were the key driving factors at the beginning.
Well, I'm glad you gave us kind of a peek behind the curtain there, because I think that might have been the biggest misnomer during the entire transition when Dr. Rashawn left. Oh, well, we knew that Dr. Rashawn valued athletics. Will the next president value athletics? Well, not only does this president value athletics, this president was on the front lines of the transition in developing the financial plan to get there. So that's really exciting. So you made the plan, and I think we can agree that it was a quicker transition than we thought it would be. And I don't want to call it easy, but a more seamless transition than we thought it would be, with the success on the court with women's basketball and on the track and cross country with Coach Hilliard's programs. So with that said, I don't know if anyone objectively, maybe you did, across the nation thought that there would be this kind of success. So it seems to have been a successful transition. What was the most challenging portion of the transition?
Yeah, not being able to compete for championships,
sure,
is always a challenge. You know, our student athletes come in here, and the reason we've had success is they're competitors.
Yeah.
And they want to win. So they found their way to win this, you know, winning the league championship. They knew they couldn't compete, but their goals, and the women's team, for instance, was to do that. And then getting into the WNIT allowed them to do so. We played in the CBI with the men's team.
Mm-hmm.
So we found our niches in terms of being able to compete, even though we couldn't compete on the greatest stage. So that was the biggest challenge. And year one, we had people returning, and they were dedicated to this program, so that made it a little easier. Year two, you have someone new coming in that knows they're not going to be able to compete for championships for 3 years.
Sure.
And then on the third year, it gets a shorter time frame. And obviously, in this case, now that time frame's been eliminated. So I think year two was probably our biggest challenge in terms of getting people to want to commit to playing, knowing they weren't going to be able to be in championships. Even though we didn't make our niches, it wasn't the big championships that we're now going to be able to participate in and are so excited to do so.
Going back a little bit to the decision to undergo this challenge of the transition, which, again, you guys are now done with, and congratulations on that. It really is an unbelievable accomplishment, especially to do it in 3 years rather than four. Is everything going on in Division I athletics right now? College athletics, but mostly D1 athletics. You have the transfer portal. You have NIL. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think that those were a part of athletics, a part of D1 athletics, when you guys made the move. My timeline might be a little off, but certainly not as prominent a presence as it is right now. Would the current state of D1 athletics informed your decision any differently when you were kind of in the committee, so to speak, and the leadership of making this decision?
Yeah, I think the guiding light would have still been that we want to compete, we want to be at the highest level, we want to raise visibility and reputation, and what is required to do that. And now it is definitely much greater with NIL and the transfer for portal. But I don't think it would have changed our plan. It might have changed some of our strategies initially. We're catching up on all that as well, and I feel like we're doing well.
Sure.
But there's more to be done because it's evolving daily.
I kind of described it earlier as this massive box checked off the checklist. I don't know if you feel that way about it, but now that this is done, regardless of what metaphor you want to use to categorize it, what's next in your assessment and in your vision for USI Athletics?
Yeah, first and foremost, we're going to continue to be student athletes.
Sure.
You know, I love the fact that our student athletes are leading the OVC and grade point academic efforts, and that's phenomenal. We did that before, and I think there's always a worry, you know, if you're switching from D2 to D1, is that still going to be a priority? And the answer, I believe, has been obvious by what we've seen.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue to do that. And then just competing for championships, the opportunity to be in some of these top-tier championships is phenomenal. So we're going to work on that on every sport. We'll look around. We'll see what we need to do. The good news is when you compare us to other schools in the OVC, I think our facilities are in really good shape. And I am truly honest when I tell you when we built Screaming Eagles Arena, we built it with the thought of being the best in Division II. We weren't thinking Division I
really
at that point. And I know a lot of people thought that, but I can promise you from someone who's in the infancy of it, that wasn't what we were thinking.
Wow.
And so now, clearly we built it in a good way that allowed us to do that, but it wasn't part of that discussion. It was how can we be the best? And so I think we'll be looking at facilities. I know there's some changes in baseball and softball we can do as well, but the big one we really need to do, and you called it earlier, is we need a track. We have championship caliber track program,
sure.
So we've got to focus on that. So those are things that will continue to be on our radar, and you know, just playing for those championships, that's going to be –
That's very interesting. I had no idea about Screaming Eagles Arena really being envisioned as a Division II venue. What's ironic is you guys built it with the intention of making it the best D2 venue in the nation, and I'm sure you accomplished that. But that said, you've also made it one of the best mid-major venues in the nation, and for my money, certainly the best in the Ohio Valley Conference. So congratulations on that. That's really cool. Okay, so you're talking about a track and maybe baseball and softball. What's the process? What would the timeline be on facility upgrades? I know that you guys have other priorities within the university, academically or athletically, but how high up on the checklist, so to speak, would something like that be?
Yeah, in terms of athletics, you know, those are all top of the list. Where athletics fits into the big picture, it'll be part of athletics and academics, right? And not necessarily in that order. We always were very much interested in the academic achievements of our students. But both of those will be walking together. As we look for donors who are interested, we'll always be looking at academics and we'll be looking at athletics. And so I think that timeline could vary to see what type of interest we have in people helping us to develop those facilities. But I think, again, being Division I and, again, getting the visibility and reputation we are, that may make the timeline shorter than it would have been. This would have been on the list no matter when we were doing things. Track was on the list when we were in Division II as well.
Just out of curiosity, there are some other schools making the adjustment from Division II to Division I, namely New Haven is, I would say, the most vocal on social media getting out there, and they're really excited to. I believe they entered the NEC, the Northeast Conference, but they're out in Connecticut. What advice would you give a program, an athletic department, a university that's making the transition right now, that's starting the process that you guys just finished?
Sure. And, you know, we did it differently than others. We were very transparent. We talked to the community about it. Not everyone agreed to do this, but we were upfront. So for me, that's a foundational pillar that you have to do when you're thinking about something like that. Talk to your current student athletes who came in and at the time, you know, weren't expecting to be in a Division I competition. Mm-hmm. Talk to your supporters who are behind your athletic programs. Talk to your faculty. Talk to your staff. And then develop a plan. Try to determine where you are and what it takes for you to compete at the next level. That's what we did. Where were the lowest cost programs? Where were the middle? And where were the highest that were being successful? And we tried to base our program based on those factors. So that's how I start the program. And then once you do, you don't look back, because if you made that decision, you need to go for it all the way, and it is rewarding when you're finished.
I'll tell you what, President Bridges, and I really, really appreciate you taking the time here on the Eagle's Nest. For me, it's been a really cool process to watch from up close, from afar, from all these different angles. I got to Evansville coming into the second year of the transition, so I didn't see the infancy of it. I didn't see the beginning of it, didn't see the planning stuff that you're talking about, but for my money, the transition process, the transfer from D2 to D1, it is a process of growth. And the athletic department has grown in so many different ways, so drastically, over such a small portion of time. And it's been a privilege to watch that. So thank you so much for what you've done for the community, and congratulations on everything, because to do this again in only 3 years, it's something that I don't think anyone really had on their bingo card going into the transition process. So congratulations on it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate your support. And you're right, it wasn't on the card, but we rise to the occasion, and that's what our teams are going to do, and we're playing for championships.
Playing for championships in the upcoming season, 2025-2026. Very, very excited to see all the Screaming Eagle athletic programs compete in the fall, the winter, and the spring. And again, this has been the Eagle's Nest Podcast presented by Bud's Rockin' Country Bar.